From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. He is currently dealing with the first epistle of Peter. The apostle wrote his two epistles to Jews who had recently come to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that, they faced opposition from two different directions: unconverted Jews who accused them of betraying their heritage, and pagan Gentiles who saw them as atheists because they refused to worship the pagan gods. Peter began by defining what a true Christian is. Men are born sinners, but they become Christians only by faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. There is no salvation without being cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, God's perfect sacrifice for sin. Peter includes a test for determining a true Christian. He will love the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly to continue a message entitled, The Christian's Trials and Triumphs. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Perfect Purity. The text is found in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Warrior of the cross, fight on! Never rest till thy victory is complete, for thine eternal reward will prove worthy of a life of warfare. See, here is perfect purity for thee. A few in Sardis kept their garments undefiled, and their recompense is to be spotless. Perfect holiness is the prize of our high calling. Let us not miss it. See, here is joy. Thou shalt wear holiday robes, such as men put on at wedding feasts. Thou shalt be clothed with gladness and made bright with rejoicing. Painful struggles shall end in peace of conscience and joy in the Lord. See, here is victory. Thou shalt have thy triumph. Palm and crown and white robe shall be thy guerdon. Thou shalt be treated as a conqueror and owned as such by the Lord Himself. See, here is priestly array. Thou shalt stand before the Lord in such raiment as the sons of Aaron wore. Thou shalt offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and draw near unto the Lord with the incense of praise. Who would not fight for a Lord who gives such large honors to the very least of His faithful servants? Who would not be clothed in a fool's coat for Christ's sake, seeing He will robe us with glory?
I know.
from time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the LTBS radio website, but we are now making available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of it free of charge simply by requesting it. You may email ltbs at freepres.org, that's ltbs at freepres.org, or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns.
A Christian is a believer. He's one whose faith is not in self, not in church, not in sacrament, not in anything that man can say or do, but his faith is in Jesus Christ, who died, who rose again. He has obeyed the truth with the obedience of faith. That's what makes a man a Christian. Now, many people make professions. Here's the touchstone. I want you to understand it and follow it very carefully. People profess to have been born again, but they don't believe in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, and they don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're not born again. They are not born again. Let's understand that. But there are people who say, I've been born again. And yes, I believe. They have a profession of belief. Now let's put the belief to the test. And here is the acid test. You can read books where there are multiplied points and sub-points and sub-sub-points that dissect faith. And most of them would drive you to distraction. But there is one acid test that Peter gives us, that the Bible gives us. Is my faith a real faith? Is it a saving faith? A Christian is a lover of Jesus Christ. If a man is born again, he will believe in the person and the work and the merit of Jesus Christ. And if he believes in the person and work of Jesus Christ, that man will love the Lord Jesus. How does Peter put it? In chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, whom having not seen, ye love. Notice those words of chapter 2 and verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. I realize that there is an alternative translation to that. And it has, on the surface, an attraction. The more I look at it, however, the more I am convinced that the Authorized Version has got exactly what the apostle meant. He's speaking about what Christ is to the believer, and then the next verse, what he is to the unbeliever. To the unbeliever, he's a stumbling stone. He's a rock of offense. If you're in this meeting this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ, why are you without the Lord Jesus Christ? Because there is no beauty in him that you would desire him. You can go on and live your life without reference to Christ. There's no preciousness in Christ for you. That proves you're not a Christian. Now you can clean up your life. You can join the church, you can get baptized, you can sing in the choir, you could even get behind the pulpit, you could learn Hebrew and Greek and theology and philosophy, and you could become a preacher, but it wouldn't make you a Christian. You see, to the unsaved man, the Lord Jesus Christ is always a stumbling stone. Could I suggest to you that that's put in Christ to a totally wrong use? You've put him where you ought not to put him in your life. If you're stumbling over him, and you're trampling on the very Christ of God, being disobedient, when you hear the call of the gospel, it's not for me. When you hear the insistent word of God as to what you ought to do with Jesus Christ, it's not for me. My friend, that's telling you, no matter what you profess, you're not a Christian. A Christian is born again. He's a believer. He is a lover of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not a Christian, of course, that raises the additional question, how may I become a Christian? And Peter answers that for us. How does a man become a Christian? There's no great mystery about it. And I trust that you'll not leave this place with any mystery in your mind about the matter at all. You become a Christian first by obeying the call of the gospel. That's what Peter makes clear. We have already emphasized the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in salvation. What is the result of it? It's unto obedience. In other words, God does all this for our obedience to the unsprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are called to obey and come to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Chapter 2 and verse 22, you've purified your souls in obeying the truth. Now, do not misunderstand what the apostle is saying. He's not saying you come to be a Christian as the result of a life of doing this and doing that and doing the other thing. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying the call of the gospel goes out. It says repent and receive Christ. Repent and believe the gospel. Acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge Christ to be the Son of God who came into the world to be the Savior of sinners. Acknowledge that his sacrifice alone can satisfy God. His blood alone can reconcile and redeem you. That he has risen from the dead and has power to save. Acknowledge Christ and call upon him to be your Savior. Obey the word of truth in the gospel, and you'll be saved. That's the same thing as saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's faith in who he is,
faith in what he has done and faith in what the work of Christ can do and will do for you. To change the terminology, Peter says it's coming to Christ like a lost sheep. Now, there are other passages of Scripture which speak of the shepherd seeking the lost sheep. But remember, these are only figures of speech. We are not actually sheep. That's only a figure of speech. And therefore, Peter, without contradicting the great truth that the shepherd seeks the lost, he says, we are creatures of God who have a responsibility to do what is right, to respond according to right when we're given the gospel. We are morally responsible for the decision that we make when the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented to us. And therefore, he says, in chapter 2, verse 25, that we are to come as sheep who are going astray and return unto Christ, the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. How does a person become a Christian? Man, if you're, or woman, or young person, if you're in this meeting this morning and the Lord has borne it in upon your conscience, I'm lost. I'm not a Christian. Here am I today, and I have a Bible, but I'm not a Christian. I've been brought up in a Christian home, but I'm not a Christian. I've had people pray for me, but I'm not a Christian. I've sung all these old gospel songs, even some this morning of wonderful testimony, but I'm not a Christian. I've heard the gospel how many times, but I'm not a Christian. I'm a sheep that's going astray. I'm getting farther from God. I'm getting harder in my sin. I'm getting nearer to destruction. It's time for me to turn and return to Christ, the great shepherd, and the bishop, the overseer of my soul. That's how a person becomes a Christian. They turn to Christ. That's what Peter says. I want to tell you, my friend, when you do that, first of all, it is the inevitable evidence of that sovereign grace of God. This is all not to procure favor. It's the result of God's grace. When you come to Christ, he will save you. He will keep you. Chapter 1, verse 5, by the power of God through faith unto salvation. He'll save you. He'll keep you. He'll strengthen you. He'll develop you so that you'll grow from being a newborn babe to being a full-grown Christian. He will comfort you. One of those beautiful promises of the Bible is chapter 5 and verse 7, as we read it this morning. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He'll comfort you. And he'll use you. I've insisted already that every Christian becomes a priest. Protestants ought not to be afraid of the word priest. I know that Rome has so misused the word. Ministers are not priests, but Christians are priests. Why? Because we're called to serve our God. Think of this. This is what a true Christian is. Very quickly, Peter talks about how a true Christian lives. Now, I've spent most of my time on what a Christian is so that everything else will become crystal clear. How does a true Christian live? He lives in the light of who he is and what he is. Now, that simplifies life for a Christian. A Christian really shouldn't need a long list of do's and don'ts. That's not to say that there are no do's and don'ts. I'm always very suspicious of people who come along and say, well, show me an exact verse in the Bible that says I shouldn't smoke, or I shouldn't drink, or I shouldn't take pot. Or I can't show you a verse in the Bible that says that. But if you need a verse in the Bible that says that, well, let me just back up a bit. I think I can show you a verse in the Bible that says you ought not to take alcohol. I think I can show you that. When it says,
that you're not to look on the wine when it's red that it moves in the cup. It's speaking of alcohol. You're not to look on wine when it's become alcoholic. I think I can show you that in the Bible. But the rest, I can't tell you the Bible says, don't snort cocaine. The Bible doesn't say that. But if you need a verse that says that before you'll not do it, I think there's something radically wrong with your profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Something radically wrong. You see, the simple rule of a Christian's life is, how am I supposed to live? I am supposed to live in the light of who I am and what I am in Jesus Christ. Simple as that. And that will give you a direct answer when you're wanting to face some of the down-to-earth questions of life. Should I do this? Should I go there? Should I get involved in that? Let me answer that in the light of who and what I am in Christ. Now listen, Christians are the true royalty. We have read already, we are a royal priesthood. We are the children of the King of Kings. Therefore, we should live in the light of what we are. We're to live like the royal family of heaven on earth. That's how we're to live. Simply, how a Christian lives. I haven't time to work out in detail what that means, but I'll tell you it means we live in happiness. Martin Lloyd-Jones said years ago that a miserable Christian is a contradiction in terms. That's not to say Christians can't weep and Christians can't be saddened by events, but Christians, despite surrounding circumstances, should be inwardly and basically happy. They should be a contented people. They should be a rejoicing people, people who are rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peter says, you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Still, you're rejoicing people. Think of it. I'm saved. I can be happy in that. I'm born again. My sins are gone. I'm never going to go to hell. If I died today, I'd go straight to be with Christ. Now, I might have a pain in my head. I might have a broken leg. I might be running short of money. I might have to miss a meal or two. Those are not pleasant things, but they can't change the great reality that makes a man basically happy. I can rejoice in the Lord and let His mercy cheer.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.